verse 3. For the vision is yet for the appointed time, and it hasteth toward the end, and shall not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not delay. That's what we had in the verse just before, the just shall live by faith. Now, this is the source of all the occurrences of the just shall live by faith. Behold, his soul is puffed up. It is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith, or the righteous one shall live by his faith. Let me show you the contrast. Look in verse 11, chapter 1, verse 11 of chapter 1, because this is describing in verse 6 the Chaldean. Verse 6, for lo, I raise up the Chaldean, that bitter and hasty nation that march through the breadth of the earth to possess dwelling places that are not theirs. They are terrible and dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity proceed from themselves. Notice the description. Their judgment, their dignity proceed from themselves. Now look at chapter 2 and look at verse 4, because I take it this is describing the Chaldean. Behold, his soul is puffed up. It is not upright in him. Why? Because his judgment and his dignity are all of himself. It's just like the Jew. Self-righteousness, self-confidence. And so this is placed side by side with the one that God speaks of. Now, having told you that, look at verse 4 again. 2:4. Behold, his soul is puffed up. It is not upright in him. But the righteous one shall live by his faith. You see, not self-judgment, not self-dignity, not self-dependence, but the just shall live by faith. Now, we're going to see this in Romans 1, because this, as other scriptures from the Old Testament, are quoted in the New Testament, not one time, but time after time after time. I'll mention one other, but I want to show you this one first of all. Romans 1:17. If you can remember those words, Habakkuk 2:4, Romans 1:17, Galatians 3:11, and Hebrews 10:38, this will exhaust the references to Habakkuk 2:4, but it's contained three times in the New Testament. So look at verse 16 for the context. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, and the word believeth is has faith, to everyone that is of faith, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is revealed a God kind of righteousness. That's what those words mean. A God kind of righteousness. From faith unto faith, as it is written, that the just shall live by faith. I read it to you in the Old Testament, and now Paul, for the first time, has quoted it for us in the New Testament. He has expanded it. He's explained it and shown the full content of that enigmatical portion that I read to you from Habakkuk 2:4, and we'll look at this more, but now let's look at Galatians 3. Galatians 3. Verse 1, O foolish Galatians, who did bewitch you before whose eyes Jesus Christ was openly set for crucified? This only what I learned from you. Received you the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the spirit, are you now perfected in the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain, as indeed it be in vain? He therefore that supplieth to you the spirit, and worketh miracles among you, doeth he yet by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned unto him for righteousness. Know therefore that they that are of faith, the same are sons of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all the nations be blessed. So then, they that are of faith are blessed with the faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the work of the law are under a curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone who continueth not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. Now, that no man is justified by the law before God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but he that doeth them shall live in them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having been made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that upon the Gentiles might come the blessing of Abraham in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And the third reference, now, let us look at it in Hebrews chapter 10. But I will read verse 36, because that is Habakkuk 2:3. Expanded, explained, elaborated in the New Testament. 2:36, or 10:36. For you have need of patience, that having done the will of God, you may receive the promise. And what is that promise? For yet a very little while, he that cometh shall come, and shall not tarry. But the just shall live by faith. And if he shrink back, my soul hath no pleasure in him. But we are not of them that shrink back unto perdition, but of them that have faith unto the saving of the soul. I confess this to you, and if you had looked up all the occurrences of the word faith, the noun faith, in the Old and New Testament, I will tell you how many occurrences faith are to be found in the New Testament. 243 references in the Old Testament. What brother can tell me how many times the word faith, the noun, is found? 243 in the New Testament. You know how old, how big and large the Old Testament is. How many times do you think it occurs? Twice. You say twice. I said the noun faith only occurs twice in the Old Testament. And the portion that we have in Habakkuk 2:4 is one of those two occurrences, and for that reason I say never has so much been made out of so little. So few occurrences. This one reference in Habakkuk 2:4, so obscure a portion that we are not even sure what is the contrast. The one whose soul is puffed up, some people say it's the Jew, I take it as being that Chaldean, whose dignity proceeds from himself, his own judgment, you see, he's wise in his own eyes, he's filled with his own conceits, all of those things are true concerning him. But here it is, the just shall live by his faith. And the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Spirit of God, comes upon one of the two occurrences of the word faith in the Old Testament, and he brings it over in the New Testament and makes much ado about it. Now, before he quotes Habakkuk 2:4 in Romans 1:17, he says this, that God's way of righteousness, notice, the righteousness of God means God's kind of righteousness. Man's kind of righteousness is self-righteousness. God's kind of righteousness is justification by faith. And so he tells us in 1:16 that the gospel contains God's kind of righteousness, and it gives us additional thought, and I will bring it to your attention because it lays down from its first occurrence the gospel in its fullness. And this is what it says. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is revealed a God kind of righteousness from faith unto faith. The just shall live by faith. You say, that's so repetitious. Faith, faith, faith. It's purposely expressed that way. It says God's kind of righteousness, and it uses faith twice. The source of it, the beginning of it, is faith. The consummation of it is faith. When you trust Christ as Savior, you become one of the righteous ones. Therefore, the basis of justification is faith. The second question is this. You told me that a sinner becomes righteous by faith. Having become righteous, having become just by faith, how does he live his life on earth? The answer, by faith. Well then, having become just by faith, having lived the moral life by faith, how does he accomplish works for God in the world? By faith. The just shall live by faith. Now, I want to add this. I told you that the noun faith only occurred 2 times in the Old Testament. But what God tells us from Hebrews chapter 11 is that faith occurred numerous times in the Old Testament, but it was not used there. God waits until the author of Hebrews starts telling us about it from the Old Testament, and he tells us about it in Habakkuk 2:4, and having taken that one occurrence where it was used in Habakkuk, then he says this, by faith Abel. Oh, I see. By faith, Enoch. By faith, Noah. By faith, Abraham. By, you say, then all of these illustrations that we have in Hebrews chapter 11 are examples of faith. Yes. And what God would have us to understand is this, that while we read about these things, God does not use the word faith, but in one instance he does, because the word faith in the New Testament is the same as the word believe, and a similar word in the Old Testament, faith and believe, is used in describing how Abraham became a justified man. It says in Genesis chapter 15, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned unto him for righteousness. Therefore, Abraham was one who was justified by faith, and it says, the just shall live by faith. For that reason, I want to break down these thoughts into 3 parts. The just, how you become just by faith, shall live, how do you morally become well-pleasing to God, by faith, and how do you do exploits, works for God? By faith. So, becoming a child of God is by faith. Living the life for God is by faith. And accomplishing works for God, all are by faith. That is why, in the introduction in Romans chapter 1, in speaking about God's kind of righteousness, it says, from faith unto faith. The commencement is faith. The continuation of it is faith. And the consummation of it is faith. You say, well, if I look at the end, faith. If I look at the beginning, faith. If I look at the middle, faith. And that is why I specifically read to you not only Galatians 3:11, but the portions that preceded it. Because there are some Christians, like the Galatians, who had grasped the first part, the just. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And the answer is, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. How do you become just? By faith. And the Galatians knew that. But Paul says, O foolish Galatians, having begun in the Spirit by faith, are you now perfected in the flesh? And that is the thinking of so many in the world today. God, if you will just get me started, give me a little push, then I will get on through life without you. I don't need you anymore. You see? They began in the Spirit. Yes, God, I needed you at first. Some have seen that. But then others think that going through life, not their salvation, but their sanctification, they say, that's a different matter. Salvation, that is of God. But sanctification, living for God, pleasing God, that is to be accomplished by my own efforts, by my own keeping of the law. And Paul says, O foolish Galatians. Well then, certainly, if I'm going to accomplish great exploits for God, I have to do that of myself. And the answer is wrong again. And that is why I read to you in Galatians 3 again. Listen, Paul speaking to those who were justified by faith said, are you now perfected in the flesh? The sanctification that God expects of you, is that going to be accomplished by the flesh? No. You're receiving of the Spirit of God. Was it by the works of the law? No. It was by the hearing of faith. I see. Salvation by faith. The receiving of the Spirit by faith. The living a life for God by faith. And listen again. He that worketh miracles among you. Does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? You say, why? It's faith again. And that's why I read to you Galatians chapter 3. Because here are the Galatians who began in the Spirit. They understood about justification by faith, but then they thought that something of the flesh had to be brought in, and having begun in the Spirit, they were perfected in the flesh. Paul says, that is a foreign gospel that I preach to you. He said, my gospel is from faith unto faith. Look at a sinner being saved. You see faith. Look at a sinner living for the glory of God. You see faith. And look at a sinner accomplishing something for God. You see faith. And so we're not going to be foolish like the Galatians. But we're going to understand, what must I do to be saved? You must place your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, how am I going to live for the glory of God? You're going to live by faith. And how shall I do these things that God expects of me? You're going to do it by faith. So, as you contemplate your life as a child of God, it has to be one of faith. Because it says, God's kind of righteousness is from faith unto faith. The commencement, the continuation, the consummation, it is all faith. So if you're failing in your sanctification, you're living for God, it's because you are not availing yourself of the power that is yours for living a life by faith. Understand this. You have no righteousness of your own. When you call upon God, be merciful to me, a sinner, God reckoned it unto you for righteousness. He gave you a righteousness that you did not have of yourself. He supplied it. And now that you are a child of God, and there is a life to be lived for God. You have no strength to live that God, that life of yourself for God. Where are you going to get that strength? You're going to get it by faith from God. And the things that God expects you to do for Him, I'm not unable to do it. You're going to get that strength necessary to do the works of God by faith. So you say, then if I fail, then I've not availed myself of, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. The power of God unto salvation, sanctification, glorification. It is the power for all of these things. And understand what faith is. Faith is directing your trust, your confidence in the promise and the power of another. My faith for salvation is in God who has righteousness to give. Through His Son, He gives me righteousness. My faith is in His possession of righteousness. He can give it to me. My confidence is in God that He can empower me to live for Him, not in myself. My confidence that God can enable me to do all things, it says this, now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think, according to the power that worketh in you. Again, the power is present, but it is confidence in one who has salvation, who has sanctification, who has power for miraculous accomplishment of things that we cannot do of ourselves. And that is what God wants us to know. A sinner comes to me and says, what must I do to be saved? Faith is the answer in Jesus Christ. You place your confidence in the ability and power of another to supply righteousness that you do not have. How can I live for God? O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and of death. And so that spiritual law of life is in the hands of God, and that power is given to us that want to do His will. And also, the things that God expects us to accomplish in this world. How are they going to be accomplished? They're going to be accomplished by the power that is bestowed upon us. Unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Greater is He, the Spirit of God, who is in us, than he who is in the world. And so we have the omnipotent Spirit of God saving us, sanctifying us, empowering us. And this is why God, three times in the New Testament, lays hold of that little verse in Habakkuk 2:4, the just shall live by his faith. When it was true in the days of Habakkuk, it was true in the case of Abraham, as it is true today, and will be true till the end when Jesus Christ comes again. Why? Because from faith unto faith, the beginning and the end. And just as Christ is the Alpha and Omega, so God's kind of righteousness is faith to faith, at the beginning and at the end. You say, well, how could anyone miss it? Because man is determined to add something to righteousness that is given him in Christ, but you can add nothing to that righteousness. Man is determined that with his own strength, he's going to do something for God. But he is not able to do that. The Lord Jesus said this, I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou didst make me trust when I was upon my mother's breasts. The Lord Jesus was he who trusted his Father upon his mother's breast. And Christ was he who was empowered by the Spirit of God to live and to do all of these things. I will show you now in Mark 11, and that's why I broke it down in three parts, because the question is asked, how do you become just? How do you live as a just man? How do you work for God as a just man? The answer is always by faith, but I want to show you now about working for God. In Mark chapter 11, the Savior had looked at a fig tree that had nothing but leaves, and he said, let no fruit grow upon thee from henceforth forever. And it said, the fig tree withered. And then the disciples looked at it, they marveled, and they said, Rabbi, the fig tree which you cursed is withered away. Listen to his words, he said, have faith in God. And the Lord Jesus made that pronouncement, cursed be that fig tree. Have faith in God. Do you understand that our Savior, who was God manifest in the flesh, was he who was cast upon his Father. He went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And the Lord Jesus said, have faith in God. And so if the Lord expects us to do something, it has to be by confidence, faith, trust in him. Now let me show you how it happened in the New Testament. When our Savior was coming to the disciples that were in the boat during the storm, walking upon the water, and Peter said, if it be thou, bid me come to thee upon the water. Tell me what power was in Peter to walk upon that water. You say, none. Why, of course not. But when Christ said, come, then Peter's faith initially at the beginning was in one who was able to empower him to walk upon the water. And he did walk upon the water. But then when he looked round about and felt the thing through, he said, this is impossible. And he started sinking. But you see, that enabled Peter to do this miraculous work for the Savior. It was faith. That's what did it. And then his faith was gone, and he was unable to do it. And this is the same as ourselves trying to accomplish something for God, to the glory of God, of ourselves. It is as simple as you're walking upon the water unassisted by God. You said, well, it's impossible. Of course. But the Savior said this, with God, all things are possible. Walking upon water, and this is what I want to bring to your attention. Since the days of the apostles and their passing away, I am not familiar with any miracles like unto those worked by the apostles and those in Galatians 5, because notice, in Galatians it says, he that supplieth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you. There were those that were gifted to work miracles according to 1 Corinthians 12. I've seen none of those miracles like we find in the Gospels and Acts work today. But when they were worked, it was because the apostles placed their faith in God, who had power to enable them to perform those miracles. That was the source of their success. The power bestowed upon them because of their faith that they placed in God. And that is the way that we are to live. And that is why when a man is unsaved, notice, the Savior said, how hardly shall they that trust in riches enter the kingdom of heaven. The disciples said, who then can be saved? And the Savior said, with men, it is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. You take the worst sinner, and it's impossible for him to be saved, as far as man is concerned. But with God, all things are possible. Have faith in God. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation
to everyone to believe it. The power to save that man that's impossible to be saved as far as man is concerned, but he can be saved. Impossible for one who is bound to sin, having been saved, to live a righteous life. But faith enables him to live for God. And impossible to accomplish the tasks, the monumental task that God has placed before us. But by faith, it can be accomplished. And that is why, though you have the word faith only twice as a noun occurring in the Old Testament in our King James, yet we find that the Old Testament is filled with faith from the very first of the children born to man, Cain, and then Abel, his brother. By faith, Abel offered unto God. We find Enoch walking with God. By faith, Enoch. We find by faith, Noah. By faith, Abraham. You say, well, each one of them exercised faith in God. Yes. And why was Noah building that ark? Because he believed God, who said there was going to be a flood. And he placed his faith in God. And think of that task that God gave him to build that ark according to the specifications that God told him of. And yet he did it in the right amount of time. And when he did, God, being inside the ark, said to him, come in. And when Noah went in, God shut the door. Here is a task that God gave Noah, and Noah, by faith, built that ark. And so here we are, and I'm so thankful when you dear ones pray that God would help us to grow and enlarge. I cannot understand it. But we must work and expect God to bless our work. It's like this. Here is Noah, told of God to build that ark. Do you think that he carelessly put it together since God told him that he was to build that ark, or do you think that he did it according to every specification of God and put the pitch and the tar so that no water could get in? You say, of course he did. And then he trusted in God to keep it afloat. And God did keep it afloat. And so that is something that we do today when God tells us to build an ark, when God tells us to accomplish a work. It may not be miraculous, like the lame man that was healed in Acts chapter 3, like Eutychus that fell out of the window and was dead but was brought back to life, but those miracles were accomplished by faith, and whatever God gives us to accomplish is by faith at the same time. So, how much was made out of that which was so little? And I'm thankful that God showed us how great the content of Habakkuk 2:4 was, the just shall live by his faith. Time is gone. Let us pray. Now, Father, let us know that we have looked at the conditions that lie before us, and we say impossible. Of course, but with God, all things are possible. And we look at what has happened and what you expect us to accomplish, and we say, impossible. But your Son said, have faith in God. And your Son said that great things are going to come to pass in the future. Let not your heart be troubled. You have faith in God. Have faith in me. So help us to be those who understand a God kind of righteousness, from faith unto faith, from beginning to end, and let us be found in faith as those who are trusting in the precious blood of Christ, those who are trusting to be empowered by thy Spirit to live for Christ, and those who are empowered by God to work the works of God through Jesus Christ. Help us, we pray, in his dear name. Amen.